Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
All right, church family, I want to invite you to grab your copy of God's Word and join me in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we will cover this morning verses 25. Wives are like, whoa, hang on just a second. I thought we already talked about us last week. It's time to talk about husbands. I had some husbands leave last week, and they said, Pastor, that was a great message. Had some wives come in this morning and say, I can't wait, Pastor. I can't wait. We are talking about the issue of marriage, and we are doing it in the context of a series called God, Marriage, and Family. And next week, when our kids are in the service with us, we're going to talk about kids and parents. So that should be fun. And if parents, there's things you've been wanting to say to your kids, just shoot me an email this week. We'll cover that next week, okay? And it'll be a good time with our kids joining us for worship next week on the 5th Sunday. I want to read for us this morning the text. I want to go ahead and back up to verse 22 and read all the way through verse 33 so that we get the flavor of what Paul is communicating here under the inspiration of God's Spirit. He's wanting us to understand this relationship between husbands and wives, how it should function. So I want to read the text and then we'll begin to work through it this morning. Paul writes, verse 22 of Ephesians chapter 5, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Father, we ask this morning that as we open your word, you would open our eyes that we would be able to see, that you would open our ears that we would be able to hear, and that you would open our hearts and our minds that we would be ready to respond to your word and to your spirit this morning. We ask all of that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. We began last week by just defining what we mean by marriage and what the Bible means by marriage. And so as we talk about husbands and wives, we want to remind ourselves that God's plan for marriage, God's institution of marriage, was begun back in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 when he brought Adam and Eve together in marriage. Marriage, by design, by God, is for one man, one woman for life. That's God's plan, that's God's best, that's God's design. Now, here's what we all know, that our culture doesn't necessarily agree with the biblical framework with which we go with. Now, we're going to go with the Bible. So just lay that out for us as we walk through this conversation. We're going to go with Scripture on this. We're going to go with not only what God ordained beginning in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, but what Jesus reaffirmed in Matthew chapter 19, and what we're going to see Paul reaffirm once again here in Ephesians chapter 5. As we look at this idea of marriage, as we talk about husbands and wives, that is the framework by which we are having this conversation. Now, here's what I also know as we sit here. Some of us sitting in here may not be married. And so you may look and you say, well, gosh, Michael, you just don't have anything to say to me. Can I just leave this morning? I don't like to talk about marriage because I'm not married, or I'm not going to get married, or I have no interest in being married, or whatever it may be. And I want to say to you in that, I think it's helpful for us as we look at this conversation of marriage to recognize that marriage is more than just this relationship that we're going to talk about here this morning. It points to something bigger, something more important. It points to the relationship that Christ has with His church. So if you're here this morning, you say, Michael, I'm a single and this doesn't really apply to me. Can I press back a little bit and say, if you are a believer, then what we're going to talk about this morning has incredible relevance to you because we're looking at the relationship that Christ has with His church, because that's what Paul compares the marriage relationship to. And so if you're here this morning and you're single, God's word specifically speaks to those of you that are not married, and it's not a bad thing to not be married. I know sometimes we talk about it potentially in the church as if that's a bad thing that you're not married, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. God gives the gift of singleness to some for their lives, for seasons, or whatever it may be. But I hope this morning that as we have this conversation, as we look at what Paul says about marriage, that even if you aren't married, you will be able to see in this description that he gives just how much Jesus loves you. So much so that he laid his life down for you. As we look at verse 25, wives, we had a word specifically for you last week. Husbands, it's our turn at the whipping post today. All right? I do want to point out that it's going to take Paul 9 verses to speak to husbands and only 3 to wives. I don't know why that's the case. Ladies, I'll let you speculate on that. Only had 3 verses last week. This week we've got 9 to cover. And so husbands, buckle your chin strap. All right? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Let me remind us, as we have this conversation about marriage, what I said last week: marriage is not primarily about our happiness. Marriage is primarily about our holiness, about us glorifying God within our marriage. And so as we take that as not only what God has said marriage is and how it should function, but also that recognition and understanding that God's primarily concerned with our holiness and His glory in marriage, not primarily concerned with our happiness. If you're taking notes, husbands, you should be taking notes. This is what I want you to write down. When husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church, it is an act of worship. Now, you're going to notice as we work through the text this morning and as we look at these points of application as we walk through it, they mirror what we said to wives last week. Say, Michael, you just aren't very creative, huh? Got to use the same outline. No, interestingly, I think it fits perfectly just like it did last week. Paul writes and he says that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. As we back up for just a second, as we think about, I want us to focus in on Christ's love for His church. We sang about it just a little bit ago. If you're a follower of Jesus this morning, you've experienced it firsthand. God's love for you demonstrated in Christ's death on the cross, paying for your sins, His rising from the grave so that we could have eternal life. We've experienced that. And as we think about what Christ has done, we have to remind ourselves that what Jesus did for us was an act of worship to His Heavenly Father. If you remember, as Jesus is preparing to go to the cross, he says to his Father, "Father, if there's any other way we can accomplish the salvation of people without me having to go to the cross, if there's any other way, Father, can we choose that way? But not my will, but your will be done." Jesus' road to the cross was an act of submission, an act of worship. In fact, Jesus laying his life down for his church was the greatest act of worship that we could ever see, that we could ever take a glimpse of. And so Paul here says to husbands, "I want you to love your wife like that." To which husbands go, "Well, gee, thanks, Paul." Right? I mean, how do you measure up to that? Husbands, how do you measure up to Jesus' love for his church and his demonstration of that love? You look and you go, well, I can't, Michael. I mean, that's just the honest truth. So, wife, just want you to know, I'm a failure. So, we'll just have to go from there. I don't think we get that out in the scriptures, though. I don't think Paul says here, "I know you're not even going to be able to work this thing out, so just don't worry about it, husbands." No, he still says, "Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church." Well, how did Christ love the church? He expands in verse 25 and he says, "He gave himself up for her." He laid his life down for his church. Which we take that and we say, okay, husbands, our call, our responsibility within the marriage relationship is to lay our lives down for our wife. That's what we're called to do. And we're going to talk in just a little bit about practically how does that work itself out. But I want you to notice what happens in verse 26. Why does Christ lay his life down for his church? And why should we as husbands lay our lives down for his wife? He says here in verse 26, "Christ did this so that he might sanctify her," speaking of the church, "having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish." So think about that for just a second. Who benefits from what Christ did? His church. That's who benefits. You say, well, you can make the argument that Christ benefits because he has a beautiful, sanctified, cleansed church that's now his, that he's secured for himself. But just think about that for a second. Remember what we used to be. If you go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, church, the picture's not pretty for us. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. We're enemies of God. We deserve God's wrath. There's nothing good about us separated from God. But Jesus, in the midst of seeing us like that, dirty, without hope, Jesus lays his life down for us and for our benefit so that we could have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Husbands, think about that for just a second as it comes to your wife. Loving your wife as Christ loved the church, the ultimate benefit of that is what your wife receives in it. Husbands, let's just be honest. We're pretty selfish. No amens? I mean, if we think about it, we are oftentimes primarily concerned about ourselves, primarily concerned about what we want, what we can get. And when we're in a relationship with our wife, it's easy for us to trend towards the direction of, I need to be worried about me primarily. That's the exact opposite of what we see Jesus doing. In fact, we see Jesus saying, I'm not worried about myself. I'm laying my life down for my church. Husbands, that's what God has called us to do, to lay our lives down for the benefit of our wife. Your wife will flourish in life and in her relationship with Jesus, in her relationship within society, if you will lay your life down for her every single day. Wives, you can say amen to that. And listen, in that relationship, in that context, wives, can we be honest with one another? When your husband does that, you're like, praise Jesus. When he loves you like Christ loves the church, you're like, oh, what an amazing thing. Husbands, it is an act of worship for us to love our wives and lay our lives down for her. It's an act of worship for us. In fact, God's commanded it already, and so for us not to do that, for us not to lay our lives down for our wives and love them in the way that Christ loves the church is for us to walk in disobedience to the Lord. And if you look and you say, Michael, we've got issues in our marriage, there's things that are going on, can I just ask a simple question? Husband, are you loving your wife like the Scripture says? I've never had someone come in and in the context of describing issues within their marriage say, but you know what, Pastor? My husband does love me like Christ loved the church. No, husbands, when we do that, when we love our wives as Christ loved the church, not only is it an act of worship, but it is for our wife's good. And ultimately, we get the benefit of that. Just as Jesus does in the relationship with the church, he has for himself a spotless, sanctified bride in front of him. And husbands, when we love our wives like Christ loved the church, and we begin to see her flourish in her walk with the Lord and flourish in her relationships with her kids and relationships within society, it is a beautiful, beautiful picture. So the question, I think, is easy. How do we actually do that? It's good in kind of a theory sense, but husbands, what are some practical ways that we can love our lives as Christ loved the church? And as I speak these, let me just let you know, husbands, in case you want to throw something at me, I'm speaking this to myself as well. Husbands, some practical ways that we can love our wives well as Christ loved the church. We can put our phone down. And I'm pointing to myself as I say that. We can actually sit and have a conversation with our spouse without doing this. We can help at home if we have young kids. Husbands, it's not your wife's job solely to take care of your kids. You are partners in that responsibility. In fact, you're called to lead in that relationship. Let me just speak to you at a level here for the church. And you can be mad and we can talk about it afterwards, but I'm still right, okay? On Sunday mornings, serving with our kids in the back, we have 70 volunteers in the course of a month that serve with our kids, which is amazing. Here's the problem. 63 of them are women. Men, that's an indictment on us. If your wife serves with the kids, get your behind back there and serve with her. No amens there, just a couple. We can talk about it after service, it's okay. Our kids need men in their lives. And we as a church should be doing everything that we can to get men serving with our kids. You look and you say, Michael, I serve on setup and tear down. I do man stuff. Man stuff is getting on your knees and playing with a kid and telling them about Jesus. You just close the sermon, give an altar call there. We'll just do that. Taking notes, here's what I want you to write down as we look at verses 28 through verse 30. When husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church, it is an act of wisdom. I want you to notice what Paul says beginning in verse 28. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. I want you to notice the logic that Paul uses in verse 28, this idea of wisdom. He says here, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. We see that relationship play out. But then he says here, husbands, love your wives like you love yourself. We talked about that just a little bit ago. Husbands, we're pretty good at loving ourselves well. But we may lose the sight of what Paul says is the actual marriage relationship. He's going to lay it out here in verse 31, and we'll cover it in just a second, but Paul's harking back to Genesis chapter 1 and 2, and then Matthew 19, when Jesus says it, that a man is to leave his father and mother and to be joined with his wife, and the two become one flesh. And so in a real sense, there's not two separate people within the marriage relationship. In a real sense, biblically, there's one. You are now, as a married couple, one in relationship. There's one of you. You say, no, Michael, there's two of us. No, there's one of you. The two have become one. Which is why Paul makes this argument of wisdom here, that husbands, you should love your wife like you love you. Love your wife like you love yourself. No one, Paul says here, has ever hated his own body. You don't hate you. You love you. But when you look at it, Paul says, you are now not just you. You are one with your wife. And so when you love you, it makes really logical sense that you should love your wife like you love you. So husbands, in this, let me just ask the simple question. Do you love your wife like you love yourself? You say, Michael, I don't really love myself. Yes, you do. You do. If you had the option of protecting yourself in a situation, you'd do it. You would take care of yourself. You would make sure that you're going to be okay. If we're not careful, husbands, we'll make sure that we're okay to the detriment of our wives. And we'll just say, you just got to get on board. And that's not what Paul says here. He says, in fact, it is the wisest thing for us to do as husbands to love our wives the way that we love ourselves. And notice what he says there in verse 29. No one ever hated his own flesh, but notice the two words that he uses here. But nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church. I want you to notice what Paul does there. Paul says, not only do you love yourself, you nourish yourself and you cherish yourself. You think that's kind of self-absorbed, isn't it? Did you eat yesterday? Why? So I was hungry. I was starving. Football game was on. Got to have something, right? You ate because you knew that's what your body needed. So here, what Paul says is, the same thing is true about your relationship with your wife, that you should look at her and say, how can I nourish my wife and how can I cherish my wife the same way that I nourish myself and I cherish myself? Because in fact, when you do it to your wife, you are doing it to yourself because you're one. Husbands, how do you nourish your wife? Let me just ask this question. Do you know what your wife needs? Have you ever asked that question? Homework exercise. When you go home today, ask your wife a simple question. Honey, what do you need from me? What do you need from me? Wives, you can pay me later, okay? But wives, be honest with your husbands. Be honest with them. Tell them what you need from them. You may look and you say, I need you to actually talk to me. I don't want to just be roommates in the same house. I want to have a relationship. And that takes communication. You may say to your husband, listen, I need help with the kids. I am pulling my hair out. And you're sitting on the couch watching football. I need help. Maybe you say to your husband, I just need you to encourage me every once in a while. Just build me up with the words that you say. Wives, what do you need? Husbands, do you know what your wives need? Go home and just ask that question. And then husbands, think about, how can I cherish my wife? What can I do to make her know that I cherish her above anyone else on this planet? Which you should. How can you cherish your wife like that? Can I just press in a little bit right here? Remember when you first started dating her and the things that you used to do? My wife and I have this conversation. Romance doesn't have to end after you get married. Some of you are like, what's romance? Wives, let your husband know what that is when we go home, okay? But in that, husbands, how do you cherish your wife? Do you truly look and see her as a gift from the Lord for you? Do you look and you recognize my wife is a precious gift from the Lord? I mean, we see in the book of Proverbs that wisdom is he who has a wife has a good thing. Husbands, how can you nourish and how can you cherish your wife? Because every bit of effort that you put into nourishing her and cherishing her, can I just tell you this, is going to be to your good. It's going to be a benefit to you. You're going to look and you're going to go, man, I didn't know that that would do what it would do. I didn't know that by me nourishing her and cherishing her that she would thrive and that she would flourish in this relationship. I had no idea, but that's what Paul wants us to understand. It is an act of wisdom, husbands, for us to love our wives as Christ loved his church. Number three, verses 31 through 33, when husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church, it is an act of witness. Verse 31, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Paul says in verse 32, this mystery, he's talking about marriage here, this mystery is profound. And I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. I want you to notice this. There is no other relationship that the Scripture ever identifies as being compared to the relationship that Jesus has with His church, except for marriage. Marriage is the only one. And as Paul's writing this, what he's saying for us, what he wants us to understand, is that your marriage, if you're a follower of Jesus here this morning, your marriage is a walking billboard flashing what the relationship between Christ and His church looks like. Constantly, your relationship with your wife is saying something about the message of the gospel every single day. Now, for some of us, if we're being honest, the bulbs are out on our flashing sign. You ever ride down the interstate and you're like, they hadn't done anything with that sign. I mean, the letters are peeling off. You're like, somebody needs some help with that. Maybe your marriage is in that position. As you think about your marriage and it being a billboard of what's going on between Christ and His church, you're like, man, there's some help that's needed here. We need to repaint the letters on the billboard. We need to turn the lights back on. We need to do some of these things in our marriage so that it accurately and beautifully reflects the relationship between Christ and His church. And Paul here says it's a mysterious thing. It's an amazing thing. But husbands, let me say this to you. In that walking billboard of your marriage that declares what Jesus is like and His relationship with His church, here's the scary thing. The comparison between you and Jesus. Anybody else terrified by that, guys? To look and to go, wow. If my marriage is a walking billboard of Christ's love for His church, that means I'm a walking billboard of Jesus' love for His church in the way that I treat my wife. Husbands, that's a sobering thing for us to think about, but let's put it in context. If someone looked at your marriage and someone read about the way that Jesus laid His life down for His church, would they look at your marriage and the way that you treat your wife and look at Jesus in the Scriptures and the way that He treats His church and go, huh, I see the connection? Or they look and go, I have no idea. Now, husbands, let me just say to you, I'm not sure that this is possible if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Husband, if you're here this morning and you've never trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've never experienced what we're talking about. Jesus' love for you. And so it would be natural to say, I'm not sure that you can love your wife like Jesus loved you if you've never experienced Jesus' love for you. And so maybe for you, husband, this morning, the step that you need to take is to trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior and experience for the very first time what we've been talking about. Maybe today you experience for the very first time Jesus' love for you and you go, okay, I get it now. I see what that looks like and that's the way I want to love my wife. Maybe for you this morning, wife, you're sitting and you're saying, what if my husband never does it? Isn't that a possibility? That your husband never loves you like Christ loved the church? What do you do in that? What do you do in that situation? How do you handle that? You say, well, I'm out. If I can't be happy, I'm gone. Don't forget that marriage is not about our happiness. It's primarily about our holiness. And let me say this to you, wives. No matter how great of a husband you have, he will never fully measure up to Jesus' love for his church. And so if you look at him and you go, unless you look like this, not going to work. Some of you wives are laughing because you're like, amen, pastor. He ain't looking like that a lot. But there needs to be grace. There needs to be prayer. There needs to be encouragement. But guys, let me just say to you, this is not a suggestion that Paul offers. This is what we are called to do. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that it proclaims, even truth that's hard to hear sometimes. Lord, I'm thankful for the marriages that are represented in this room and for the walking billboards that proclaim Jesus' love for his church. And Father, I have no doubt this morning that there are marriages in here that are struggling. Father, there's husbands in here that are not loving their wives like what we just talked about. But God, the good news is that marriages can be transformed. Father, the good news is that husbands can be transformed. And maybe this morning, Lord, it needs to be transformation from death to life for them, spiritually speaking. Maybe there's a husband here this morning that needs to take that step of trusting in Jesus for salvation so that they can experience firsthand this love that we've talked about between Christ and his church. Father, maybe this morning there's husbands that have been convicted. And Lord, I pray that this conviction would not be crushing this morning, but that it would be motivating. That as they grow closer to you, Lord, they would begin to see even more Jesus' love for his church and begin to imitate that in their relationship with their wife. Father, there may be wives here that are struggling with husbands that are not even doing anything close to this. Lord, would you give them grace? Would you sustain them? Would you transform their husband? Father, we ask that as a church family here at North River, that people would look at the marriages that are comprised within this church and in our community see Jesus' love for his church. Father, that may be the only gospel message that they see. May we be faithful. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.